All right, I see all these hips swiveling like crazy because that is the Dirty Dozen Brass Band with I Shall Not Be Moved. It's a New Orleans classic, and as happy and upbeat as it sounds, it really is part of the funerary tradition of New Orleans. In fact, this is from the Dirty Dozen's 2004 album, Funeral for a Friend. It's a great album. I know it sounds weird to say that, but what they do is go through the various stages, musically, of course, of a New Orleans traditional funeral, music-wise, and this is one of the staples. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yutrice Lead. It is Free Your Mind Friday. And I do want evidence that you're freeing your mind. I do want evidence. I don't want evidence that you're trying to find your mind, but that you are freeing your mind. That means you're presenting for our consideration a topic. You're prepared to defend your position if anyone should try to take you on, and you prove your point. It's as simple as that. All right, the number is 888-874-4888, and let's also try to be as concise as we possibly can so that we can get as many people as possible in on the call. We start with E from Edgewater. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, good afternoon to you too.
Hope you're feeling well. That's
Thank
definitely
you.
the right music for the times that we're in. Reminds me
Yeah,
a little bit.
we need something to cheer us up, don't we?
Yeah, reminds me a little bit of the great Sun Ra Orchestra.
Ah.
Well, let me get right into it since I don't want to take up too much time, and since it's Free Your Mind Friday, I want to free my mind and jump right in to the next election. I'm going to write the script like you wrote the script for the Catholic priests, what was going to happen to them a couple of weeks back. I'm going to write the script. Isn't it a mystery that already we have 15 people running for Democratic candidates in the Democratic Party already, and we still got a year and a half before the election. We already got 15 candidates in there, including Bernie Sanders, and we don't even have Joe Biden in there yet. So once Joe
Well, yeah,
Biden
he
gets in there,
hasn't actually formally announced, but people are nudging him. We'll see whether he responds to the nudging.
well, that's part of my script, but it's a mystery to me that people are so anxious to run in this election when only 2.5 years ago nobody had the courage to run against big bad Hillary except good old Bernie Mason Sanders.
Well, it's not that they didn't have the courage. It's just that for political reasons, they decided not to get in the way of an election where she was promising to be a very strong candidate. And it tells you the kind of pressure that they succumbed to. Many of them might have had very good and viable candidacies, but it's in this business a matter of, hey, get out of my way, go someplace and hide until the election is over. I got this.
Right, but Bernie had the courage though, and he told us, let's not talk about the emails or Benghazi or what she said about Gaddafi. Let's just have a nice, clean candidacy going on here. And anyway, what I'm trying to say.
It shows you that Bernie didn't know what politics was. He didn't understand the competition. Yeah. He didn't understand what he had to do. No candidate comes up and says, well, let's dispense with battle. Let's talk nicely and logically about the issues at hand. That ain't going to work.
Right. Right. I believe that like I believe they count the votes. But anyway, back to my story here. So Bernie was brave enough, but nobody else but him. And now, suddenly, since Hillary decides she's not going to run this time, so now, since the big shark's not in the water with the superdelegates, everybody's jumping into the water, right? Everybody's jumping into the pool, including Bernie again, who's going to probably be near 80 by the time the election comes around. But I believe Joe Biden will run, and he will get the nomination, narrowly beating out Bernie for the nomination. So Bernie, because his 13 million fans will plead with him to run as an independent, will decide this time to run as an independent, which will create a three-horse race between Biden, Bernie, and Trump, which will benefit Trump because Bernie and Biden will cancel each other out, and Trump will end up winning his second term with less than 33% of the vote. This is the way I see it, and it's not something that I think is so hard to figure out. You don't have to be a wizard. And, you know, we have to prepare ourselves ahead of time for what we're in store for, because this is all by design, and it's all orchestrated, and they're all a bunch of actors, and it's all designed to benefit the corporations and the rich people that benefit by having Donald Trump as the president, if that's what you want to call him, because I don't really think that's what he is. He's just a pawn, a puppet in this game of chess, and he's doing his job,
a very good job. You see two guys canceling each other out and making way for another term by Donald Trump. Well, it's a very gloomy prospect, but we heard you. Thanks for starting us off today.
I'm doing it a year and a half ahead of time.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. A year and a half ahead of time. There are different ways that people use time, especially in politics, electoral politics. So don't go by the typical interpretation of time. In politics, time is also a factor of what is at stake? What is happening now? Where is the momentum? What is creating interest in any particular candidate? The kind of money being spent to promote a candidacy? All the stuff. So don't go by chronological time. Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes. Greetings to the beloved family. I've been on my night owl schedule, so I'm fading away over here, but I want to try to hang in here for a few minutes before I drift off.
Okay.
And one of the things that I did catch you recently saying, because I'll have you on even as I'm dozing, is about Trump's saying about the Democrats hating the Jews. But first I want to make the point that radio is really special in this respect. It's intimate. You can have the best talk show or news program on TV. It could be very, very good, but unless it's a rare public access program, you won't be able to weigh in. And my point is I think it's important to be, even if we cause confoundment, to be open to sharing intuition. I actually heard, I think it was Heather McGee, a fellow at the Demos Institute, who also shared what I shared and had to do with intuition, and that was that was my thinking around Nuremberg. And Daryl from the Bronx, homeboy, he actually kind of fleshed out where I was going, and it reminded me of when Ramsey Clark was around. He might be, you know, ancestor now, but I can't remember the details, but he actually did, there was some craziness going on probably around wars, and they actually did a human rights tribunal. The other
But I don't know where you're going.
Well, I'm going
you know where they were going. I don't know where you're going. So tighten that up a bit. Give us some focus.
The point is that when I came up with Nuremberg, saying that Nuremberg was flashing in my mind, it wasn't fully fleshed out. But I think it's important to share when one has, say, intuition or flashes, because Daryl came on. This was a few weeks ago now. Daryl came on, and he actually talked about human rights tribunals, even if it's done by the people, by the grassroots. I think it's important. But the other point that I want to make is what happened in New Zealand. Now, these people usually have single digit. I think it's 1.4 million people, and they usually have single digit murder rates. And, of course, we hear about this situation. Now, because we're dealing with the fool as occupant of the White House, even if in the manifesto, Donald Trump actually, I just heard earlier this morning, actually mentioned as a symbol and, you know, for the white supremacists, et cetera, et cetera. The point I'm trying to make is he's a very, very dangerous man. Utrice, have you heard about his recent statement around the police and the military and what's the other aspect? Police, military. At one point, he mentioned he tried to say, "Oh, they're not very tough," you know. But then, if it gets very bad, they're really, really. In other words, the same thing.
Oh well, we lost you. Did we lose her? She had another call coming in, I think. All right. Maybe she'll call back. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm like everyone else, hanging in by my fingernails. But, you know, they're pretty sturdy, those fingernails. I've been hanging on them for a long time. My problem is the good guys aren't going to win. That's what my problem is. Because good guys don't go that extra step that the Republicans do to get their way. That's my feeling about this. No matter, you know, even I remember when Barack was running, and I said that we can win because the vote for him will be overwhelming. They won't be able to fudge it. And in fact, I believe that's what did happen. As it turned out, in my humble opinion, he sold out before his first State of the Union speech, you know, which was a crusher to me because I actually worked for that idea, hope and change. What a fool I am. Other than that...
No, you shouldn't take that tact. You know, you did what you thought was the best decision at the time. You just have to live with it. You can't regret something you did in the past when, at the time that you did it, you had an entirely different point of view. So you fulfilled, at least to yourself, you were true to yourself and what you believed. So that's fine. Don't start now reviewing and regretting. It's not going to help you. It's not going to change the outcome.
Well, that's not only my other problem as far as who is going to become our president next is that they, I had it in my mind. I had it all laid out. It was a beautiful little speech. It's, You mentioned people.
No, I just want to mention this. You sound like you're in an echo chamber. Please speak directly into your phone so we don't pick up all that ambient sound.
Is this better?
Yes.
Oh, forgive me. You know what? I had it on speaker and I had it to my ear, which makes that echo sound. So you'll have to forgive me. I'm not up. I can't keep up with every app that comes out every other minute. But what I was going to say was, people who are lining up, with the exception of a few, I'd like to see AOC throw a hat, and I would vote for that woman in a heartbeat.
Oh, you know that that is just wishful thinking.
I don't care. Wishful thinking.
Alexander, no, you see,
about.
We have to care.
Actually,
we have to care about
thinking.
These things.
Actually, because in a while.
It makes
you know?
No sense. It makes no sense supporting a futile effort. I don't care how progressive people are and or radical as they are. That is not a winning proposition. She just got there. She barely has warmed up her seat. She has a lot to learn, and she has a lot to offer, which is fine. But to now start thinking of drafting her for president, that means something is wrong with us. I mean, if we think that that's a safe bet, that you can take a neophyte and a total neophyte to the process and say, we are supporting you for president. I mean, what are we saying? You don't require experience from anybody. You don't require expertise. You don't require a mandate. You don't require organization. You just, for some emotional reason, you're saying she should be a candidate for president, and that suffices in this day and age? Come on now.
Talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
But why is it that... So you're actually talking to me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I understand all of that. I have been around the block more times than I care to count, okay? And I do this stuff by the seat of my pants, by the feeling in my gut, by the people who say, strike the right chords with me. She has struck the right chords with me and a whole lot of other people. What you're looking at is the old guard. The old guard.
Nope.
Can you imagine?
Nope. Not at all.
Sorry.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm saying, let's not be delusional. I'm with her. You may recall the many instances in which I have tried to convey the support for her and talking about her support in the context of the resistance that she'll be experiencing in Washington. She's just not ready for the presidency of the United States. I would be scared if she is president of the United States, because she has not yet matured into that position. It will take a little bit of time. Inevitably, she would be a splendid candidate, not just not now. I would consider it foolish to say that she should be a presidential candidate with the expectation that she would win and then go on to be president. I mean, these are delusional ideas. We need somebody who knows how this thing is done. We need somebody who knows how you run a country. She just got there. She just got there. Give her some time. She has to mature into the world of politics. She has to pick up quite a few skills. And I'm sure that in the very near future, she may be ready, but not now. That would be a wasted vote.
Apparently, my wasted vote was the first time I voted for Barack Obama, because I bought the same BS. From him.
Well, you see,
actually,
here's where
I
we differ. I did not vote for Barack Obama either time because I spotted it.
So you didn't vote for him the first go-round?
I didn't vote for him both times.
Ah. Well,
I spotted him.
Kudos.
And
kudos.
I considered that my vote should be cast elsewhere. Or, in fact, I didn't vote at all. I set it out. Look, voting is a very serious thing to me. It's not about taking a chance. It's not about, you know, wanting to do the right thing and encouraging people. You either qualify or you don't. I didn't think he qualified. Both times. And I said, no, I'm not voting. It's a strange position to take, you may say, but that's the way I think. That's how seriously I take my politics. As liberal as he was painted and as progressive as he was painted and so forth, when I looked at the bottom line about his program for Africa and the Caribbean, you can't find it. I said, this guy is... he is getting away. And, you know, he had all of the attributes, and it was a sure thing, I think, because I saw it coming, that he was going to be elected. I just didn't want to be part of that. Because I don't think that up until election day, Barack Obama had not sufficiently spelled out his program, his thinking on a wide range of subjects, and by then he had sufficiently demonstrated that he was an acolyte of the Clintons. Who needed that? I didn't need that. So I don't play when it comes to making these political decisions on an emotional basis. You either have the viability of a candidate who, once in office, can really get down to brass tacks and deal with the changes that have been demanded for a long time, or you're just cruising. You're just cruising to the next stop. I'm not going to assist anybody who is a cruiser. I want somebody who understands, roll up your sleeves, get your agenda nice and clear, commit yourself to some very important points and programs, and then let's go. Let's fight. Let's take that office. But until then, you're just pussyfooting around. You're not a real candidate. You're showboating. Who the heck needs a showboat? That's what we have now in the White House. We have a showboat. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, John. 888-874-4888. Bill from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice. It's Jay.
Oh, hello, Jay.
How are you? Listen, your last caller, man, is what the problem is from the other side. That's why you got somebody like Trump in office. And the sad thing is, man, this massacre that happened over in New Zealand, for the president of the so-called free world to be associated with it, and as a so-called American citizen to have to realize and see that fact, man, it's sickening, man. It's disturbing. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I'm an
African. You're being emotional. You're being emotional. Okay, you are allowed to be emotional once. Now get out of that ditch and let's talk sense. What is your observation about the moment involving Donald Trump?
I mean, the observation is that no president of so-called free world should ever be associated with this type of terrorism against another group. You know what I mean? And it's based on his policies and his statements that people have come to this type of conclusion that they are allowed to do this to another people.
And are you saying, are you saying that Donald Trump had a role, had a hand in this awful, awful tragedy?
No question. No question.
Okay, what is it?
No
what
question.
Is the role?
His policies? I'll tell you how. His policies and his statements and the way he presents himself in regards to Islam and other people of color. No question. Because
forget
the guy
that,
even
said, because now said you're making a charge, a very serious charge. You're saying that the President of the United States had a direct hand in the decision so far. They're talking about just capturing one man and who has killed 49 people. You're making that link. And it is to be presumed that you have evidence that the President of the United States has that link. That's you're charging him with homicide, mass homicide.
I'm not making
You could say that the president and the policies that he has been following and his attitudes toward Islam, you can conjecture that these things might have aggravated the situation and might have had a role to play. But you have no proof. So you can't make these kinds of charges.
The man made the link in regards to why he committed this act. Now, am I saying that Donald Trump told him to do it? What I'm saying is the climate that Donald Trump has presented to the world gave this man justification to act out on his murderous, terrorist behavior. They use
I'm asking you to prove that statement.
What has he said against Islam? What is his policies against Islam?
Don't answer with a question. Answer with an answer. What makes you so comfortable with the idea that Donald Trump is responsible for this mass slaughter? And you say it as if you have in a folder somewhere, you have sheets of paper that show the direct link between Donald Trump and this attack. Well, we don't know. Look, when you have these kinds of attacks, like today, I'm sick of the word manifesto. People are talking about a manifesto. Is there a manifesto? A guy writing down his thoughts becomes a manifesto. It may just be his thoughts. You know, when you're writing manifestos, you are operating at a particular level. Where you formulate ideas, where you are representing a group. Yeah, it doesn't have any manifesto. He just decided, at least this is what the evidence is showing initially, that he was going to commit mass murder. You can't say right now, or I should say you shouldn't say, that this is Donald Trump's fault, and that Donald Trump is directly linked to this crime. You have no proof, and we should be very careful about saying things like this very casually, although you are indicting a person, in this case Donald Trump, for a really grievous event. So you got to come better than that.
The same way that they use the Islamic cloaks when terrorist acts are made by Islamic individuals against others is the same way I equate it with the behavior of Donald Trump. That's it. The same way they use the cloak It's the same way I'm using Trump.
Do that. You're both wrong to do that. You see, this is one of the important things of learning how to develop your argument. You don't have an argument. You have some thoughts. And in those thoughts, I think you have some threads. You can certainly talk about the Islamophobia of Donald Trump and his administration, and the global effect this might have had. But you and I, as we speak, we have no clue, no definitive explanation for what happened. So let's not create history and manufacture facts. Let's just wait and see what happened, according to investigators. But already, you know, you're hearing them talking about he has a manifesto. This guy doesn't have a manifesto. He hasn't yet risen to the level of manifesto. He wrote down his thoughts about whatever it is he was intending to do. That is not a manifesto. He's not representing any official position. He's expressing his thoughts. Why can't people just say that? He wrote a note, a pretty lengthy note, but call it a lengthy note. Why are you calling it a manifesto? What, is he a representative of some splinter group? Is he expressing the views of that group? So all around, we have people playing fast and loose with the facts. And then you say, well, why can't I be as errant, as wrong, as other people who are wrong on the other side? Equal opportunity wrongness. No. We have to evaluate it for what it is or what it is turning out to be. And then we make some decisions. I don't feel comfortable that, you know, any of us right now, where we are, have exclusive and unique information that gives us the authority to decide, summarily decide, what happened there. We don't know. How about that as a novel idea? We don't yet know. But if you listen to the news, that is not allowed. You can't report on something you do not yet know about. And then but that's the news. It is a thing that would continue to unfold. You'll get more and more information. There are so many angles here. And it will be some time before, if we're lucky, before we know exactly what happened. So let's step off the gas a little bit. Oh, I think he's mad at me. He's gone. Jay, you gone? All right. Bill from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Chase, and to the PRN family and community.
Thank you.
From the People's Republic. You're welcome, from the People's Republic of Brooklyn, and
yes.
On a nice pre spring day. Anyway, you started off asking about Joe Biden and if he's going to run. Well, I just finished filling out a brief survey that I received. It might have been from ActBlue or one of the other organizations, and it was clearly a more than a toe in the water for Joe Biden. It was more like a leg in the water, and really asking about, if I thought, and others I'm sure think that he's viable, and various other questions that clearly are indicators that sooner or later he will present himself for candidacy for president.
Who presented the survey to you?
I believe it was ActBlue. So I think it was ActBlue that sent it in an email. And And so I filled it out, sent it in, gave my feedback. Right now, I'm very concerned with all of these people popping up like mushrooms after a spring storm to run for the Democratic nomination. It's way out of control, and it's quite troubling. You know, you have these sort of newcomers who are very energetic, but as you have mentioned a few minutes ago, they just aren't seasoned. They don't have focus. You know, they're just not ready for prime time, at least on the presidential level. And certainly the character in the White House now has proven that just can't have anyone come out of the blue and be an appropriate president to lead the ship of nation of the United States. But they're about as many on the Democratic side right now to field a team on the NFL or the NBA, it seems. So hopefully
every
things will.
Day it's a new candidate that pops up. My gosh.
Exactly. But I'm sure things will start to filter out, and we'll see. I think Mr. Biden could be viable. My concern is that we have someone of integrity, someone of experience. He has a lot of that. He certainly has some flaws in his early life, and even more recently when he was vice president. In order to reach that middle sector, that sort of those, at least a few of those folks in the Trump camp that can make the difference to winning, there needs to be someone that can sort of extend reasonable hands across the aisle and have some dialogue of reason. And I think right now he's the one that can do that. Sanders, I think, has a lot of great energy. He's got a lot of great backing. But he's, I think, he's another polarizing figure, such as Hillary. And he has sort of a heretical, or he's sort of like a heretic. He needs to tone it down a little bit.
You don't have to worry about Hillary Clinton running. She is, I believe, out of the running. In fact,
right.
She is facing monumental prosecution.
Okay.
she dare not present herself as a candidate.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The Clintons need to take a back seat. And also on the matter of Mr. Obama, I agree with you on some point. He really did drop the ball in terms of the African-American community. He played it very safe, and those first few years when he could have had some major impact, he failed to do that and listen to people like Rahm Emanuel to sort of play it safe, and then allowed the Republicans under the leadership of Mitch McConnell to whip him up and down Pennsylvania Avenue each and every day until he finally realized that the Republicans had locked arms and were not going to allow him anything, including nominations to the Supreme Court, to be successful. So he failed.
Now we have the interesting development among Republicans. Jeb Bush is pleading for Republicans to come up against Donald Trump.
Well, there's some sanity in that. I mean, not that I agree with Jeb Bush in terms of his politics.
I know this is how weird things are. We have Jeb Bush, former governor of Florida, and brother of George W. Bush, and son of George H.W. Bush, a very, very Republican, saying,
"Yes,
it's time somebody emerge on the scene who presents a viable alternative to Donald Trump." So the Republicans are not happy either with what they've got.
Well, clearly not. They're embarrassed with this character in the White House.
They ought to be, really. Who wouldn't be embarrassed? Who wouldn't be embarrassed to have this guy as the president?
Yeah, exactly. And I was not that old, but I grew up in a time when there were Republicans who represented me in as a resident of Maryland, and who were reasonable people, and they wouldn't even be considered Republicans today. So yes, there needs to be some reasonable Republican candidates that can try to rescue their party and also learn not to play Trump's game. And the way Trump won was he broke every rule, as he continues to this very day, and they didn't realize that, and they tried to play the normal candidacy role, and we saw how he just, you know, made mockery and fools of them on during the debates. And so, you know, it was a hard lesson, but now we're all dealing with the impact of that, no matter what parties we support.
But, it astonishes me that people couldn't see where he was going. You just said that. I just don't see how they could have missed all those cues. I said it.
Yes, you did.
Wait. Yes, I did. So it's not something that you need a special kind of, degree in. You could see it. Mm-hmm. You could see that this guy was a charlatan. You could see that he was not educated in the sense of a political education for the office he was running for. And you could see that he was pulling the wool over people's eyes. He was just being a Mr. Showman.
Absolutely.
And later on, we discussed the fact that he's not wrapped too tight.
Well, that's very apparent, and it shows itself each and every day. And, it's even with the unfortunate incident and with New Zealand, I was appalled that he even commented on it. But we have to keep the faith. There are better days, but with the whole Democratic field, that needs to be whittled down considerably. And maybe there'll be, you know, other folks even beside Biden who, you know, can present themselves as really viable options to take on this.
He's swimming around in the same pool with all this flotsam and jetsam. There's nobody yet to emerge who is, you know, a fresh face, a sight for sore eyes, and somebody who is actually demonstrating that he or she has a brain. Let me ask you.
Yes.
What concerns you most about the state we're in politically? What concerns you most?
What concerns me most is we're losing our democracy in this country we call the United States. It's always been flawed, but now it has been seriously hobbled by Mr. Trump and his minions, hobbled through things such as the election fraud, also with voter suppression, attacks on the press, and so forth. And so each and every day we're losing ground. It's like we're standing, you know, and with our ankles up in the water and in the shore of the ocean, and you can feel the sand just sort of seeping out from under you. So that's what concerns me. And we don't have a lot of time. Even internationally, the United States is a joke. And I'm sure I'd love to be behind the scenes with some of these, you know, international politicians when they get together and really hear what they think and say. But they know what they're dealing with Trump. And even Mr. Kim Jong-un, who Trump really thought he could go in and razzle-dazzle him. Kim comes from a dynasty of people, of tyrants over, you know, 50, 60
exactly.
years. So he knows the game much better than Trump could ever know it. And he played Trump. And he's playing him to this day and taunting him almost.
Well, I'm concerned about not how the system is behaving. It is maintaining consistency in that regard, except that, you know, we're seeing an exaggerated form of behavior from time to time. What
Yes.
concerns me is us. What
okay.
are we doing? What are we? Are we fighting at all? Do we think that it is worth it to engage in a fight?
Mm-hmm.
Do we? You know, Are we ready for a fight? And so that, to me, is a large reason for why we have the low quality of politics in our country. Because the people are not ready. The people are not participating. They're turned off, and they're not ready to exercise their authority in this whole matter. If we were even reasonably informed, if when I say inform, like in the 50s, 60s, 70s, we wouldn't have these idiots who end up sitting in Congress, sitting in the White House, and basically having their hands on the throttle and brake of government. We wouldn't have I don't think. Because people would say, we don't want this at all. This is not what we bargained for. Get out.
Yes.
Well, okay. I feel better.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And we have a veil of ignorance over many of our eyes, where we're so distracted and, America's Next Stop this, or, who's this, and all these frivolous things on TV. Not that people shouldn't enjoy entertainment, but there is no longer any real news that you can look to in terms of American media that is informative in any way, even in terms of the horrible thing that happened. I won't say misinformation, but lack of credible information. And it's only been a matter of hours since this has happened.
And we lose out because we have backpedaled in terms of our right to be involved in the shaping of our own polity, but we're not doing it.
Absolutely.
And this is what we get. We have people who are running their own government as they see fit, sticking their hands into the till, taking out whatever they want to do whatever they want. We have a renegade government.
Clearly,
it just can't keep up like this. We have to step up to the plate. And if all we are concerned about is who's going to be the next president, then you see how badly we lose at the game. Because time will have to go by, and we will be distracted by other things, except we're not paying attention to what matters most to us. I feel scared about that. But thank you so much for calling. Always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, it's very important. It's very important that, how we reframe our reality. We have people in 2019 still functioning as if it was 1950. The tactics are the same, the rituals are the same, and the outcomes obviously will be the same. We have not changed up anything substantive to say we need something new, something different, something relevant. We are still operating back in the 50s. And I know these political sharks know it. And all they have to do is to give us what they think we need, to feel like we're doing something, to feel like we're participating, to feel like we are determining political outcomes, but we're not. We're not. There isn't a single new thing I could point to that says, this is revolutionary. This is a brand new concept, and I like that. Let's get with that. It's not happening that way. CC from New York, you're on the air.
Utrice.
Hello.
Thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, indeedy, I can.
Thank you for you, for you, you, you. And, you know, every show is a teaching, is a teach-in. And you're loved, appreciated, liked, and admired. And I have to say to the lead story leaders, L-E-A-D-E-R-S, I'm grateful for them as well.
I really love our company. I really love.
Yes, yes.
We try to give to each other to kind of sharpen up our minds here. We've been going a little dull.
Well, let me say this. Let me give you my $3 bill. I think I'm not fighting. I'm seeking to inform. I'm seeking to share. You know, you've asked me several times. I've mentioned it. You know, you asked me one time on a show a few months ago, what am I doing? And, of course, I thought about it right in that spot, and I know I'm doing something, but I needed to define it better. And that is every time I get a chance to share or inform, someone about something that's would help them get involved or recognize that we need to be involved. And I think involvement is the step. You know, what you said a moment ago is that they give us something that they think, you know, let them have cake, kind of situation. But I will say, and I'd like to get your thoughts, and that is things are, believe it or not, they're better on some levels than ever, with the new crusade. And, of course, what you said earlier is that we can't let neophytes and cadets, we can't be distracted or attracted by that. And I'll probably say that, the large dark money is big on the Democratic side to dilute and divide and fool us to a great degree. What do you think about that?
Well, of course, it's like anything else in politics. People will do whatever it is they want to do, especially, as you call it, the dark side, to win. It is we who can't imagine that they would do these kinds of things. And so we are not prepared. We're not part of the conversation until it reaches a boiling point and there's no way to ignore it. We have no affirmative plans, really, to speak of. We are not operating from the point of view that our thinking should be about 20 years from now. So what do we do now? We are waiting until we get to that point only to realize there's nothing in place. We have to change our minds about things, change our attitudes about parties, change our attitudes about our power. We have a lot of power. For some reason, we lay back and we let other people have it. And then we give it to them, and then they give it a small piece of it back to us, just to placate us. But they're not doing what we ask them to do. So we have to become resolute, it seems to me, about devising our own systems, because, truth be told, our thinking and our own systems are far superior to anything that they have given us. Their systems don't solve problems. Their systems don't involve community. But we can do that. We start small, but effectively, and we tackle something that is extremely important to our community's survival. This is the thing that people really are not understanding. It's all about survival. Okay? It's about survival. And when it comes to survival, we are not there to be friends. We are not there to support somebody's ambitions. We're there to find out what you have to offer. Has it worked? Will it work? Will it solve this problem? If not, we move on. I can't imagine, you know, I've traveled a lot, and you see how people tackle problems. They never, almost never, are in the here and now or the moment. They're thinking ahead, and they're changing now what they need to do to be okay 20 years from now. And that's what we have to do. Well, we've run out of time, as quiet as it's kept. Thanks, CC, for calling. I wish we had more time together today, but we will. We'll correct that. Thank you all. I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. I feel myself to be the luckiest person in the world. Why? Because people offer the best of themselves, and you can't get a better gift than that. You just can't. So let's continue in that vein, growing together. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.